Welcome everyone to TubaCast episode 7. I'm your host Christopher, and with me is my brother Matthew.
Hey.
So do you have any news you want to share with us from this past week?
No.
No?
I wasn't expecting.
Okay. You said you were watching Harry Potter. Is that one? Give a review or anything?
No.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, this part, I'm like, I don't care. She's like, we'll see out there, and I'm like, I don't care. It's like, does that person die? Well, I don't care. That's kind of the extent of it. It is interesting that, you know, for the longest, they didn't even make sequels to movies. And if they did, it was kind of like the trilogy. And then Harry Potter's, what, movie 6 going on 7 or something like that?
I think that is the 6th one, right? And then now it's time for the last two, maybe? I don't know where they're at now. I don't really have any news, but today I bought a Mego action figure. Mego action figure from Planet of the Apes. Like the old 8-inch articulated figure that comes with like real cloth clothes and stuff.
Did you buy like an original one from the 70s or just a
It's a repo, but it's got like the same packaging, and I don't know if it's the exact same mold or if they remade molds to look the same, you know, like, but it's supposed to be the same thing, but, you know, redone. And there's a store in the mall called FYE, and they're going out of business, so everything was on sale. And I saw it, and I thought, they're like, it was $20, and I was like, man, you know, I wonder how much it is, you know, on sale. I thought it might be like 10% off, so I thought I'd go ask him, and it was half off, so it was like 10 bucks. So I was like, yeah, all right, sure. And he's really cool. It's funny because I have him on the table, and now, you know, for the whole night, it's the Monkey Man. And I was playing with him with Ariana, and then...
What do you mean for the whole night it was Monkey Man?
Well, all night tonight... Oh, hold on, Dad's calling. Let me... Okay. Okay, Dad. We're just kind of doing weekly news right now. Okay, so I was telling Matthew today at the mall, there's a store called FYE. And they had a Planet of the Apes action figure. It's a reproduction of the ones they made in the 70s. And it was half off, so I got him. And it's really neat because he's got this great face. Like, I saw his face, and I was like, oh, man, he's got this kind of weird smile. But he's a monkey, but he looks kind of like a person. And it's really neat. And he's got cloth outfit, and his hands are just like the standard, like, human. It's like a human body, but with a monkey head. So his hands are like human heads, and to make him seem furry, on his sleeves, they have this fur all around his sleeves, so it kind of looks like a fur coat, but his hands are just like people hands.
and he's just a monkey head on a body.
Yeah, but it's awesome. And then he's got tights on, and he's got these little loafers that come off. So I was calling him the Monkey Man, and it's actually Cornelius, but I was calling him Monkey Man. And Ariana was like, oh, I want to play with the monkey. And so I had him on the table, and Sarah was talking to me, and I was like, oh, hold on. I was having a conversation with Monkey Man. And she's like, what? And then she bumped the table and knocked him down. And I was like, no, you knocked down the Monkey Man. And so anyway, oh, cut all that out, but it's funnier in person. So anyway, so I got a cool monkey Planet of the Apes figure. So that's my news.
What's your news, Dad? I don't have anything exciting as that.
Well, that Monkey Man's tough to beat. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about movies that we think have good ideas, but poor execution. Either they, you know, the budget just wasn't there, the acting wasn't there, special effects weren't there, but it had a neat idea. So I'll go first and give you guys a chance to think of some. And the first one that came to my mind, well, the Sci-Fi Channel, most of their movies would probably qualify. Because a lot of them have pretty neat ideas, but, you know, they just don't have any kind of budget or whatever. But one that I've seen, they actually made two of them, at least two, I think, and it's about gargoyles. And the one that I've seen most of was Gargoyles Attacking B-17s in World War II. And so it's like these B-17 fighters pilots, and they get a, I mean, these B-17s, and they get attacked by gargoyles over like Romania or something, and they crash, and then it's them and the Germans against each other and the gargoyles and stuff. I don't know if y'all have seen that one, but it's an awesome idea. But you know, the special effect, the gargoyles are so cheap looking. But that's a neat idea, you know. So anyway, that's my first one.
Well, I just got through watching a show just tonight, and again, it's a sci-fi movie because they have some of the G stuff. I mean, this is a brand new show. Well, they say it's brand new. Earth Annihilation or something.
Oh, is that any good?
Well, the idea was good. It's a new way of getting energy, like collider beaming photons or some stuff like that. Super clean energy. And the whole, after so many years, the whole world is dependent on this energy. There's no more need to use fossil fuels. It's just all collider photon energy. And then, of course, you know what's going to happen. Some doofus wants to blow it all up. So he blows one of them up, and it causes a chain reaction of, it's like a nuclear reaction. Bomb, well, it's not nuclear, and then it causes tectonic plates to move and shift, and moves the pole of the Earth, and then satellites start falling from the sky, and then, of course, there's a subplot of who caused it. It's a guy, one of the two guys who knows that, is he a terrorist or not, and so at the end of the movie, they don't believe the guys when he says, you can't shut them all down. All these other colliders are containing the field. If you increase the power, it'll shut it down. And they don't believe him, so they shut the power down, and the world blows up.
That's how the movie ends.
Yeah, the world blows up.
And then that's it. Just the
that's
end.
That's it. Credits.
That's awesome.
But it's just that some of the acting in it is just. You know, the special effects aren't too bad. You know, they show fires. You know, you can tell it computer-generated fires. But, I mean, they did a pretty good job of the special effects, but the acting is so bad.
I don't understand how they have such crappy actors. I mean, with the talent pool that's out there, and there's so many people trying to be actors, you'd think they could get some decent acting. Or
I guess maybe I should rephrase it. I don't know that the actors are acting bad. I mean, it's just that what they're told to do is dumb. You know, I mean, the guy who's doing the acting and the gal doing the acting, they're doing a good job of acting. It's just, you know, what they're doing is bad. You know,
like, their writing is just.
Yeah. Just, you know, it's just crappy. Anyway, that's my first one.
You got one, Matthew? Okay. The one we met. Oh, okay. I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah. Okay. They had good special effects. You know, they really tried. They tried on a script, a story, the actors, I guess, and it. You can tell there's a lot of effort, and they really put a lot of effort into the movie, but it just sucked.
I think, are they remaking that one too?
I
think I heard they were. Didn't you used to love that one when you were a kid?
I think I wanted to love it because it was kind of hyped so much as, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
This spaceship, and I don't know. It was like, this is, you know, you guys are of the age that this is your movie. This will speak to you. And you watch it, and it's like, it never really takes off.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another movie that they could have done a really good job on was the movie based on the TV cartoon and He-Man and Skeletor.
Oh, yeah, that was on my list.
I mean, that movie was perfect.
Who is the little elf guy? That was the
guy,
Wildor.
Only one of you, Kevin. Only one of anybody.
Yeah, I heard.
They tried to make it as cheap as possible. What's weird about that movie is on one hand, you know, the costumes were really well done, and some of the like the vehicles in there, or I guess their hover ships or spaceships, were really intricate and detailed. So I mean, you could tell they put a lot of effort into those. But then the entire movie takes place on Earth, not on Eternia. Not He-Man related at all on Earth.
Yeah, I think they did a lot of that just for budget. You know, they.
I guess they blew it all on costumes.
Well, they like, yeah, there's no way we can make Eternia, so let's just do it cheap and make it on Earth. And same with, what's his name? Gildor?
Wildor.
Wildor. He was the stand in for Orko because they knew they couldn't make Orko with the budget. Or with the special effects, they're like, yeah, we can't make Orko, so we're going to make this other guy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, you know, it's like you have He-Man, and you have what? How many hundreds of episodes were there? And they're like, you know, yeah, we can't really do it right with the money, so let's just screw it up and put it on Earth with some other people and just totally redo the story instead of, like, you know, either getting the money or like waiting or, you know,
or coming up with something. Because in the beginning they did it, they were in some kind of desert whatever, and other movies have done stuff like that, so it wasn't impossible. They could have done desert part of Eternia or the jungle part. I mean, it was possible to do.
Yeah, man, that's a good one. He-Man, I have that on here. Oh,
you know, another one, Star Trek.
Yeah, but you know, watching it now, I mean, the story's really simple and lame and drawn out and boring, but it looked nice. I mean, like they had a lot of the big wide shots and stuff of the spaceship floating through and going inside that whatever that other thing was. I mean, it's kind of stupid and whatever, but it looked good. I mean, those parts. But yeah, that one.
Yeah, well, definitely there's a lot of love in the movie. They really were trying, you know, special effects, but I don't think it came together in the end. But didn't it make a lot of money? So I guess that wouldn't count, because it was a success in a way.
It took them a long time, though, until they made the sequel. I'm going to go with the recent one, that I Am Legend with Will Smith. I'm throwing that one up there because I just got it on Black Friday for $2. And I was watching it, and the beginning's awesome, like where he's all by himself through the town, and he's got his little fortress set up, and he's got to be back by night, whatever. But then it gets all cheesy with the crappy special effect monsters and stuff. But man, if they had just used like some real practical effects and maybe changed the ending a little bit, it would have been awesome. Can't stand it when the special effects look like crap. Just go back to using puppets, man. This is so much better.
Well, I think the original, they changed the ending too. The original ending from the book, let's see if I remember correctly, he meets with the vampire, the head vampire, because there's two types of vampires. There's like the dumb kind and the smart, intelligent kind. And the smart, intelligent kind is basically the new dominant species on the planet. And, you know, he keeps killing them all. And they finally get him down and corner him. And the head guy's basically like, you're going to die, you know, but before we kill you, you know that you'll be in our stories, you'll be of legend because you were the one who, I guess, helped us or forced us to evolve, or I don't know, but that's why, so therefore that's the title of the book, is I Am Legend, because he will live on in their legends as some, you know, mythic, epic person.
He's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one with Vincent Price, the black and white one? Last Man on Earth?
The one with Charlton Heston.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good one, too. Have you seen the black and white one, Dad, with Charlton Heston? I mean, Vincent Price? I think it's called The Last Man on Earth. And it's like an hour, maybe. And it's sort of the same thing. It was the first one they made, and it's the guy, and he's by himself, and he's trying to develop an antidote, and he goes out at night during the day and tries to find the vampire people and kill them. And then at the very end, I don't quite remember how it ends. I guess there's some of them that were awake during the day, but he thinks they're people or something. So they kind of lure him into a trap, and then basically they kill him. And he's like, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. And they don't see it that way. Cause you know, he kills them all during the day when they're sleeping. So it's like Matthew said, he's the boogeyman. And then at the end they kill him or something like that. But it's pretty neat. I have it. It's neat. Cause at the beginning it shows Vincent Price driving around through this deserted town, and I can't remember if he was hunting them down during the day or not, but they would come to his house, and it was kind of creepy because they would come to his house, and some of them, I guess, were people he knew, so they would like call out his name and stuff and bang on the doors and the windows, so they were like bothering him all night. But then during the day, he would go through and like get the dead ones and take them to like a big burn pile and burn them and stuff. It was pretty neat. I guess a new one also I'm going to throw out there is the Resident Evil movies. Y'all seen those? I think those are pretty neat, but they get kind of crazy with some of the ideas. Like the second one, the first one's all right. Then the second one, they fight that giant monster that the Umbrella Corporation made, that big guy with the Gatling gun.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess that's from the game. I'm not sure, but in the movie, it's just kind of a little over the top. But I kind of like the idea how they shut down the city and they were going to bomb it and everything. But it's kind of neat. And then the last one they did was pretty neat. It's like the world's been wiped out and it's just a wasteland. And they're traveling by caravan, which is pretty cool. But then the girl gets special powers or something. And I don't know if y'all have seen those, but...
Yeah, that gets a little crazy. When she gets her special powers and all that.
Yeah. Okay, what else? Or like any TV shows, too. Hey, well, real quick, I guess, back to the sci-fi movies. So I wrote down a couple that I've seen that were decent ideas. I'll just name them. We don't have to, like, go into them all. But, of course, the one we talked about last time, Giant Octopus versus Mega Shark. That was the one with the submarines. And then there's one I saw called Ice Spiders. It's about these giant spiders, which sounds cool, you know. But and then there's Alien Hunter, which I think two aliens crash on the planet and then they hunt each other. But then there's some like humans in the middle of it or something. And it sounds cool, but then the aliens are so lame. And then it looked like they filmed it all like right outside California, like in the woods.
Yeah, is that the one where one of the aliens is supposed to be like a bounty hunter or something? He's like a robot?
Yeah, and I think one's a giant spider or something.
That's lame.
But it sounds...
Why do you guys watch that crap?
Well, it's because it sounds awesome. You know, two aliens and people were in the middle, and then you watch it and like, oh, God.
Yeah, the ice spiders wasn't the bad... You know, the idea was, is it too bad? You know, they're creating some kind of spiders in a laboratory and then they get out. But it's like, well, this one lady figures out that something's gone wrong. Well, you know, duh. Of course, something's going to go wrong.
It always goes wrong. It's always scientists, too. They're always screwing something up. Then there was one called Raptor Island, which I believe was the one where some rich guy had a big boat, like a tanker ship. And he would take clients to a deserted island, and on the island there were dinosaurs. And I don't know how the dinosaurs got there, but I think the idea was he would take these guys and they would go hunting, but they would hunt people. And the people didn't know that they were being hunted. Then when they got on the island, there was like dinosaurs killing everybody or something like that. Which, once again, that sounds pretty cool, but, you know. Okay, so here's a list I have not seen. But I thought I would share the titles with you, so you know. Mammoth, Man Thing, Man Skeeto, Mega Snake, Minotaur. Yeah. See, doesn't that sound awesome? And then Sea Beast, Shark Swarm, and Skeleton Man. So, you know, you think, you know, if you had a decent writer and a half... You know, pretty decent budget, man. Those would be awesome movies.
Well, you know that one rap. There's one called Mansquito.
Yeah. Do you see that one?
No, but remember the movie that they made, The Fly?
That's
the one where the guy was working on teleporting from one place to another.
That was a good movie.
Was that
Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum, okay, close enough. And so when he did the transport, a fly got in with him.
Yeah.
And you know that could be something similar to the Mansquito. You know, it might not be any different than Spider-Man.
Right. See, exactly, because when you say like you give the description of the fly, it's like a guy's messing with transporting himself, and a fly gets in there, and he turns half fly. You're like, that sounds kind of stupid, you know. But the movie's awesome. So then, you know, Mansquito, a guy turns into a mosquito. Oh, that's, you know, well, it could be like the fly. It could be awesome, you know. But yeah, they need to get Michael Bay to make Mansquito. That'd be awesome, man. He'd be blowing everything up. Oh, back to Michael Bay. So I watched the second Transformers, and I actually didn't get to finish it, but the beginning when they're chasing around Devastator or whatever, man, they blew so much stuff up. It's just crazy.
When they were in China.
Oh, my gosh, man. And the sounds, I mean, you know, like I said, I didn't get to finish it, and there I had issues with other parts of the movie, but, man, the explosions and stuff were just beautiful. Just the way they look and the sounds and stuff, man, it's awesome. Anyway, okay, I want to throw out Explorers, the movie Explorers, with the little kids that build a spaceship out of like an old amusement park ride, and they go up to, they meet some aliens. And when I saw it as a kid, I was like, oh, this is so cool. It's kind of like Goonies. I think it came out like the next year or something. And so I was like, oh, right, you know, some more kids do some awesome stuff. And it was pretty neat. They build it. It shows them, like, building a spaceship and everything. And then they fly up and they meet the aliens. But then when they meet the aliens, it got really weird. And I just remember it being a big letdown once they met the aliens. So I'm going to put that one up there. I don't know if y'all remember that one.
Yeah, and something's going. The alien, yeah, it's like a male-female alien, and they get real crazy. And then it turns out that their giant spaceship is swallowed by another spaceship, and then it's kids, and it's their dad. And they jump the family car and were cruising around in space when they swallow the Explorer's ship.
Oh, wow. Man, I need to watch that again.
Yeah, what was weird was they were these really green, nasty creatures. It was a male, female, and then, you know, the Explorers land in this giant ship, and the male, the aliens, they know English because they were listening to television airwaves. So everything they said was based off of TV.
Oh.
And this was kind of creepy. And then I don't know if the kids were getting freaked out, or, and that's when the other ship came, or the other ship just came. But then two aliens started getting scared, and it turns out it was their dad, and they had stolen the dad's car, and, you know, joyriding around. So then the Explorers had to run for their lives, and the kids helped them to get away.
There was a movie that I watched, I guess sometime in the last month, and it had Steven Seagal in it.
Enough said.
You know, his first movies are really good, but this last one I watched had something to do with not vampires, you know,
zombies.
Zombies.
What? Steven Seagal?
There's a bunch of people stuck in a hospital, and they got to get them out.
Oh, that one.
You know, it was lame. Another thing, talking about movies. No, I'm sorry, not movies. Another thing, talking about TV shows, a series. Star Trek: The New Generation with Picard. A lot of those episodes were good. You know, I did not understand why they did that. It was the one with this Q, the Q guy, whatever he's called. He would show up, and he was like a god. He could do anything.
Yeah.
Just pop in and out. You know, that made no sense in the whole series. You know? It absolutely made no sense to me. Why, you know, you're flying out in outer space, and this guy pops into your ship, and you know, he could do anything. Well, you know, if you got a guy in outer space who could do anything, then, you know, there's no need for you to be out there. You know, it just absolutely made no sense to me to have this guy popping in and out and controlling people and just doing crazy stuff. It just made
sense. What doesn't make sense? His actions or the crew's actions?
No, the fact that he exists.
He's like a god.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
made no sense to me.
Why not have that exist? I mean, not a deity, then at least a very high level being. But I mean, the original Star Trek had plenty of those.
Okay, so you're talking about Q?
Yeah, it was. we can go on now.
I thought he was the guy that played in MacGyver, but it's not Q. Is it Matthew? The guy that he always faces Murdoch?
Murdoch? No.
Okay. Different guy.
MacGyver!
Yeah. What other kind of movies we got?
I had a monologue today about the difference between, or a good defining characteristic of 80s movies. You know, getting back to Bloodsport and kickboxing, because you can never get away from that. You know, you watch Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and you know how it's going to end. And it's a lot of fun to watch, and it even though one guy gets killed and the final fight's basically a death match, and, you know, he gets blinded and all that, you're never really worried, and it's never really dark, and it's never really sinister, you know? And so it's just, you go in, it's a feel-good movie, and it's, yeah, there you go, right? Kind of like Commando. You know what's going to happen in the end. He's going to kill everyone, he's going to get his girl back, there you go. But, you know, then, and you don't see movies like that nowadays because they're not real and gritty enough. It's like in Kickboxer. I haven't seen most of it, but it's a lot more serious. The bad guy's very scary. And don't, like, the bad guys, the bad is a bunch of bad guys, and they're basically like, you're going to throw the fight, and they break in and, like, capture his girlfriend, and they do illegal things to her.
Yeah.
Which is very dark. And
yeah.
They're like, I mean, so it's a total different than Bloodsport. But you don't see a lot of feel-good just action movies like that nowadays that are not crap. Because, like, Transformers is kind of like that, but it's crap.
Yeah, it seems like most of the 80s movies were all about optimism. One man can make a difference. Good always wins. They all seem to have that really good, that uplifting, empowering spirit. And now everything's real, like, realistic and gritty and pessimistic. And it's like, I guess back then the future was so bright, you know, and everything was changing. Everything was exciting, and there's, you know, we could do anything. And now it's like all of a sudden it crashed, and everyone's like, oh, life sucks.
So what happened in our society to cause that shift? You know, because you hear people talking about that, oh, yeah, you know, the 80s. Well, just like you said, you know, now everything's gritty and dark, and people, you know, like CSI and, you know, I mean, CSI is really disturbing. Not to say that doesn't happen all the time in the real world, because it does, but, you know, why do people want to watch stuff like that when, after a hard day's worth of work? But back in the old days, you'd come home and watch, like, Silver Spoons or Different Strokes, you know, or Punky Brewster. And sure, those shows are pretty crappy, but there's been some kind of fundamental shift in our culture that's what people like. And what is it?
I don't know. I think maybe now people just can't relate to that kind of stuff anymore, just because people just don't feel optimistic anymore, and they know they're not, you know, I'm never going to get a better job, you know, or I won't get a job, I won't get any money, there's nothing to be happy about. But I don't know.
You see what I'm saying? Because there's always been stuff to complain about or be unhappy about, but I wonder what caused these trends to change. Because there was plenty of stuff to be upset about back then. I mean,
there's probably more back then.
I don't know, but I know myself. My movie going experience is different, but it's just me that I don't want to go see a movie about someone else's life. You know, I could care less. You know, I got my own life. I don't want to see someone else's love story. I want to be entertained. I want to see some action, or I want to see something that stretches my mind, you know? And a lot of those shows don't. For example, that Howie Mandel show, the Suitcases, Deal or No Deal?
Yeah.
Okay, that would have been a good show for the 80s. To me, D Deal or No Deal is the absolute stupidest show. I mean, how lame and how stupid do you have to be to sit there for an hour watching this goofball or goofwoman randomly pick suitcases to win money or to lose money? You know? I mean, you've got to have something better in your life to do that. I want to see something that either entertains me or challenges my mind. That's why I really like, don't see them much, is the British movies, because you have to watch those from beginning to end because, you know, there's always something going. I guess if you're going to watch a comedy, like you know, a lot of the older shows, like the shows, I'm sure the older shows, a lot of the 80s shows, some of them were comedies. Well, basically, those are like Disney shows now. If you want to see those same kind of shows, feel-good shows, you can watch Disney. Basically, those Disney shows are the same thing. There's a number of shows, like the Hannah Montana show. Not that the Hannah Montana show is not a good show. It's a good comedy show, but it's an 80s show, and I can only watch so much of that. And like the CSI, yeah, the CSI, they are dark, and they show, but in a way, what I like about it is trying to figure out who done it. For me, some of the best shows were the mystery shows, like Murder, She Wrote. During the whole show, they gave you clues, and at the very end, the writer, whatever her name was, she figured out it. And all the clues were there. Clues were, and they showed you. Diagnosis Murder, you know. And all the clues were there, but, you know, couldn't figure it out. I like shows like that. I like shows where they make you think. If I'm going to see a funny show, I'd just rather see a comedian standing up on a stage. So that's how I've changed and evolved, and I don't know if everyone else has done that way or not. And a lot of people now, when they see action movies, they want to see action. They don't want to see, if I want to see a love story, I want to see a love story like Pearl Harbor, you know, the Academy of 3-hour award-winning Pearl Harbor show with the love story triangle, and they could have skipped that. Just get to the blowing up stuff.
There is one show on TV right now called Castle. I don't know if y'all have seen that. It's got Nathan Fillion, the guy from Firefly, and it's kind of like a Murder, She Wrote for, you know, 2009. And they solve mysteries, but it seems, I've seen one or two, and it's got a lot of humor in it. It seems kind of like an 80s show, just amped up a bit, you know, made a little better, updated for the times. But it's got that feel to it, kind of, you know. It's not real dark and gritty, but it's not goofy, you know, where, why isn't there Murder, She Wrote now, and why is it CSI? You know, like, what changed? Because that's a big change, you know.
Yeah,
is it,
I mean, there's really not a show like that now that challenges you to try to put the clues together. Maybe our younger society, younger than you guys, don't want to be challenged. I don't know.
I'm going to answer my own question here and just ignore what you guys just all said. I think what happened was, after the Cold War started dying down, everybody was a little more optimistic. Because there was no longer so much. I mean, because, you know, Christopher and I kind of came in at the end of the Cold War. So, you know, we still had to talk about, okay, if a bomb goes off, get under your desk type of thing. But it really wasn't that much of a big deal. And then when, you know, Gorbachev came in and stuff started calming down. And then, of course, Berlin and, you know, the Cold War ended and all that. So I think you found in the 80s that optimism was returning, because it was in the 50s and 60s. Was just dominated by that sheer terror of you're going to die in a nuclear war. And then after the 80s into the 90s and early 2000s, that optimism kind of wore off. And at the same time, I think television was an old enough medium that people could begin to be a little more risque and push boundaries. And the FCC was much more lenient than it originally was.
Well, I think another thing that may have changed it, I'm not sure exactly how, the 60s and in the first 3 years of the 70s was the Vietnam War. And we had, you know, we fought a war for all those years. And all those people died. And we lost. And I think that changed a lot of people's thinking too, basically. So maybe there.
Yeah, because, you know, like, even Miami Vice, like, I've been watching the first season on Netflix, and they deal with some pretty, you know, some pretty hardcore stuff, prostitution, drugs, murders and stuff, and it's, like, realistic, but then at the same time, the whole thing's kind of comical. You know, some people get killed, but the good guys always win, and they joke about it, and they have a good time, but they're dealing with really bad stuff, and so, on one hand, it's like, okay, they're actually talking about bad stuff. But it's all like, you know, it's fun. And, you know, even like some of this, even like MacGyver is supposed to be a fun show, but they're dealing with nuclear arms and terrorists and stuff, you know, and it's like, dang, that's pretty hardcore stuff. But it's all fun. You know, no one dies and no one gets hurt. So it's really interesting because everything was laid back and fun and lighthearted, but some of the topics were not that way at all.
Yeah, just like the A-Team. You know, every episode of the A-Team, there was bullets flying everywhere. Nobody ever got shot.
Yeah.
They shot the hell out of everybody and everything, but nobody ever had a bullet hit them. So, you know, and so they dealt with some of the topics. The good guys always won, but nobody ever died.
Yeah. I bet some of it is because just in general, our countries let our standards, what am I trying to say? Our ratings boards have slipped a lot. Because, you know, remember, going to an old R movie used to be, the movie was pretty risque, right? Now you go to like a PG movie and they'll have cuss words in it, or at least PG-13 movies have actual cuss words in it. And I remember that you would never hardly hear a single cuss word in the PG-13 movie back in the 80s, but now that's okay. And there's so much violence. PG-13 movies. Like, it was in Die Hard, the last one, Live Free or Die Hard, rated PG-13. Like, how? Seriously? And, yeah. And but that's okay, that's PG-13 now. But, I mean, if you aired that movie back in say, the mid-80s, what would the board give it back then?
Yeah, you got a point.
So, I think since standards have relaxed, people can get away with more, and so they do, because it's like, well, back in the 18, they couldn't show people shot up because, you know, it would be family friendly, but now family friendly means you can shoot up the bad guys. You can shoot them in the face. And that's okay because that's family friendly. I saw Up tonight.
Hey, so what'd you think of that?
I liked it. I thought it was really good. It was a very mature film. I don't know how a kid would look at it because I'm, you know, but I enjoyed it. I thought the theme they were talking about was really good. I thought the old man was really interesting because I don't want to give too much away. Off screw it, I will. You know, well, I guess it's the first scene. You know, he's dealing with loss, and the whole movie's about loss and how he's desperately trying to cling on to his house, which is his tangible reminder of his wife and, you know, his marriage, his love. And so it's kind of sad. And so the whole movie, I'm like, okay, you just put the house down, and then you can go do whatever, you know, save the bird, dog, whatever, but get your house there, you know, so you complete your goal, so you're happy. And he did, actually, which was cool. You know, in the end, it didn't really matter.
Right.
Because that's not what it was about. But the people who made the movie, I thought, were really smart because he got the house there. So everyone could breathe a sigh of relief. You know, he can die happy. He completed the goal. And then, you know, he got to go and save the friends and have fun and all that. And the house, even though he kind of was like, well, you know, the house is lost, it's still in the end, landed up in the same location. So everybody wins in the movie.
When I remember seeing the previews for it, and I was like, oh, Pixar, I don't know, man. And I felt the same way with Cars. I was like, that's going to suck. But it's really good. And so this one, I was like, okay, well, I said the same thing about Cars. So, you know, they know what they're doing. They haven't failed yet. So we watched it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, the little kid was funny with the, you know, the old man is like his grandpa and the house, and there's so many themes. And, you know, like you said, loss of his wife and, you know, and trying to hold on to that. But one of the biggest things to me, just because I sort of deal with it with my art, is they wanted to do all these things. And I guess the big one was go down to South America. So they were saving up money and they kept having to use the money for other things. And then, you know, it was their dream and stuff just kept getting in the way and it never happened. So it's like, you know, he's dealing with loss of his wife, but the whole theme of their life is the loss of their dream, you know, because life gets in the way. And to me,
but
that
they didn't really mind.
Well, they, you know, I mean, I think they, you know, they probably do because they were holding on to it. You know, they still wanted to do it. And it's like one of the, you know, it's like everybody has that. Well, I wanted to go to Alaska and I never got to. And, you know, these two, you know, at least the one they showed, the one dream was they wanted to go to South America. That was their dream. And, of course, life gets in the way, and then she died. And so he's like, well, I'm doing it. You know, and it's like, man, you know, I don't know. To me, that was even more heartbreaking than, you know, I mean, losing the wife's heartbreaking too. But to for your whole life, you know, because they didn't, you know, they were old. They had that dream when they were young, you know, in their 20s. And 60 years go by, and they just couldn't do it. And I don't know. That's really heartbreaking to me over 60 years that they just never got the chance to do it. And people go through that every day.
Yeah.
And the loss of, you know, a loved one too. I'm not downplaying that. But I think that also the loss of your dream is sort of like a message that, you know, is overshadowed, of course, by the loss of the wife. But that's a big, big message, you know, that I thought was like, wow, that's really big. Just because you hear it all the time, you hear it every day. Someone's like, oh, well, I wanted to do this, and I just haven't done it, and I always wanted to do this, and we never could. Now I got a bad knee, you know, stuff like that. There's also the whole theme of, like you said, trying to hold on to something. And, you know, he was trying to hold on to his house because that's, you know, his wife. And but then you had the bad guy who was trying to hold on to his fame, and that's why he never left. It's pretty interesting. There's several themes, and they're all very important and powerful in their own right.
You know, one of the things I didn't pick up on. Have you seen it yet, Dad?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. Was when they were having dinner in months, whatever the adventure guy who's looking for the bird. And, you know, he found out that they knew about the bird, and he was saying, you know, all these other people came here trying to take what was mine. And, you know, he basically said, you know, he killed them.
Yeah.
And so on. And I was like, well, you know, they came, and it was, you know, they were trying to get the bird too. And it's not probably the right thing to do to kill them, but okay, whatever, right? But then I was like, wait a minute. He was talking, you know, he mentioned, oh, the surveyor, oh, the geographer. And it did dawn on me that those were people just out there doing a job, and he murdered them. You know, because he's like, oh, the guy came out. He's like, these people came out here telling a story, and they all told good stories, but I knew they were after, you know, my bird. And I was like, yeah, okay, you know, I can see that. And then I was like, wait a minute, geographer, surveyor, those guys were just there doing a job. Didn't even care about the bird, and he murdered them. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, this guy's extremely dark.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, if you're like a kid or whatever, that wouldn't bother you. You'd be like, oh, whatever. But,
yeah, that's interesting that they make an animation movie directed towards kids, but you really have to be an adult to understand it.
Yeah, Pixar's really good about that. They like that kids aren't really going to pick up on the loss of a loved one. I mean, they'll know it's there, but it may not mean a lot to them yet. Hopefully not, you know. The loss of a dream, they don't know what that is because they're kids. They have their whole lives ahead of them. You know, but as an adult, you're like, oh, man, I get it. Like, Ratatouille, I don't know about Ratatouille. I didn't like that one so much. But Cars was kind of like, what was the big theme in that one for adults? It was sort of like, you know, the loss of the open road, the nostalgia.
Oh, for adults?
Yeah.
It was loss of kind of that Americana Route 66 thing. The virus type spreading of our strip malls and how we become lazy and complacent.
Well, anybody else have any more movies or?
No, I don't have any.
You mentioned James Bond. There was a good idea, but they didn't do a good job of it. There was this one James Bond movie with Sean Connery where he was on an island, and there was, I don't know if it was Moonraker, but they ended up, him and a girl, of course, ended up on an island, and there was some sort of Bond. They thought it was a monster chasing people around, but it was some kind of mechanical thing. And the mechanical beast would, you know, throw flame on, I believe. It was built cheesy. You know? Everything about the movie was good except that one was so cheesy. Huh. The movie was still good because I like James Bond, but it was just cheesy. And you know, you think they had the money to do all, to do it, but they built something cheesy. Maybe they wanted to. That's a movie where they could have done something better.
You've been watching James Bond ever since they came out, right, Dad?
Yes.
So what do you think of, like, the new one, the two new ones with the new guy? What's his name? Craig or something. Daniel Craig. What do you think about those two?
His last two movies?
Yeah.
I think they're in character with Bond.
Do you like them better than the old ones, or?
No, I like them the same. Yeah. I've liked every Bond. I haven't had one that I haven't liked. I thought one was better. You hear people say, oh, Sean Connery, he's the best, he's the gold standard and all this. But I've liked them all, even the one who did the one movie. I like those too. Because all the Bond shows have good plots, have good stories. I thought, anyway.
Okay. That's...
I haven't seen any of them, any of the new ones.
Well, there's two Bond movies that I thought could have done better. I mean, I liked them, but the one with Pierce Brosnan when he was driving around on the ice on cars. I think that could have been done better. And then the guy before Pierce Brosnan.
Timothy Dalton.
I guess it was Dalton, yeah. He did one where he was, the main theme of the movie was trying to stop a drug maker or something like that in some foreign country. And it showed kind of a personal dark side of Bond, which was fine. But I thought, you know, the theme of the drug thing, you know, just kind of took it away from Bond.
That was actually a darker one, because in the beginning, like, was it Agent 06 or his best friend who got married, and on the wedding night, these drug guys came in and killed his wife and fed him alive to a shark. And so James Bond was going after vengeance. It was just
that. Yeah, I think. That may be it, yeah.
Is that the one that was in New Orleans or something? Was there one that was in Louisiana, or maybe not?
There was one that was pretty bad.
Yeah, there was one with Roger Moore in New Orleans, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Anything else?
No, I think I'm done.
All right. Dad, anything?
I really can't think of any really bad, cheesy movies right now.
Tomorrow I'm going to think of like 100 of them. Okay, well, I guess I'll go ahead and sign off then. Thank you for listening to TupaCast Episode 7. You can email me at ChristopherTupa@hotmail.com. And if anyone else ever wants to call in and chat with us, you can email me and we can set up a time where we can all get in and talk to each other. You can check out the website at ctupa.com. And if you have a topic for us, you can send us your topic, and if we use it, I will mail you a toy from the 25-cent machine. I guess that's it. So, good night.
Good night.
Night.
Oh, hello?
Would you call it?
Sorry, I was trying to hang up.
Okay.
Okay, bye.